Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we have never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. In today's episode, we recap our Coachella weekend and discuss who we loved and which headliners weren't so hot. We investigate the mystery of which gay gave the blowjob on the Ferris wheel, and we recap the first episode of The Amazing Race All-Stars. Stick around, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, and live tweet as you listen with hashtag Psychobabble. Hello, Corey.
Hello, Tyler.
How are you? What's new? What's going on?
Well, bitch, it's been a whole day since you haven't seen me.
Wow. We've really grown apart.
How much do you miss me?
No, I was about to say
no more miss me.
No, I do miss you. I guess I'm having people over tonight to watch The Amazing Race.
Same.
So I feel like I am missing my other half for that. We will get into The Amazing Race later in the episode. So if you're worried about spoilers, we are going to back end the episodes.
Any
henceforth
Amazing Race content.
Yes.
Yeah, my friends were also like, we hope Tyler can watch one with us. And I thought, I don't know, baby. So maybe we will watch an episode together. Maybe
who knows? It all depends on if we survive.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the name of the game. Survive, bitch.
Yes, honey. So, Corey, this past weekend, we were very busy. I feel we had a time.
We did have a time. I mean, that's why my voice still sounds as sexy and as raspy as it does. I mean, do I sound a little Phoebe Buffay smelly cat? When did she have her raspy voice? Maybe it wasn't smelly cat.
But I don't remember that.
Phoebe had a cold and she was all sticky shoes.
Ma'am, I do not recall. But yes, that is exactly what you sound like.
Sticky shoes. She was like licking people's Kleenex and shit so she could be sick.
I feel like a voice that is gone and lost is a good indication of the weekend, though. Do you find that there's a correlation?
Yeah, I think that means I had a fun time. I did a lot of talking. All my friends were like, why is your voice on that? Who'd you kiss? And I'm like, I didn't kiss any boys.
Did you really not kiss anybody?
Another Coachella alone. Listen, no, I kissed all of your friends' cheeks. I kissed all of your friends' foreheads.
Well.
That's about it, baby.
That's all.
Nobody put their tongue in my mouth.
I might have.
I don't think you did.
I don't know. We'll have to roll back the footage. I had a really good time too. I lost my voice, but it's miraculously back. It had to have been because yesterday I had a full shoot day and I was so nervous that I was going to be all no voice because I was the only person at the shoot. And it was like, if I couldn't talk, then bitch, I was wasting 30 people's time. So
do you think like they would have just had you mouth it and they would have dubbed it over?
Maybe. It's possible. I don't know. They would have found a solution. I was very stressed about it though. I was, and also it's kind of like my excuse can't be, well, I was at Coachella all weekend. So,
I mean, and at this point in your career, Lord knows you've probably said at least every single one of the words that was in the thing you were filming at least once on camera. Or somewhere recorded.
Stitch it up.
They could have scoured, stitched, put that shit together. Made
Pop
you
it,
sound
pussy it,
like a dream.
Flop it.
You've
twist
never
it,
sounded better.
Bop it. Yeah.
Twist it. Pull it.
Yeah.
Flick it.
Sure.
Spin it. Fuck spin it, man. Don't even get me started on spin it.
Is spin it your least favorite of the three? Bop it,
well,
twist it,
spin
it,
was
spin it.
Spin it was part of the like spin it, it was part of the bop it extreme where there had five things you had to do.
Wait, so bop it, twist it, pull it.
Were the original three.
And then spin it.
Then they added spin it and flick it.
What's flick it?
I mean, I guess I can imagine. It was like this little like curly, like this little zigzag lightning bolt little piece. You just flicked it.
Like somebody's limp penis.
It was like a limp penis shaped like a Cheeto mixed with a lightning bolt.
So a normal limp penis.
So your limp.
My penis. Normal limp penis. Great, cool.
And okay. Boy, did we flick it and spin it.
No.
Speaking of Coachella, did you see that guy getting his dick sucked on the Ferris wheel?
Oh my God. Yeah, everyone was sending it to me.
Simultaneously, every gay in the world got their hands on that video because I swear to God, I was at the airport and got it sent to me 900 times. If you don't know what we're talking about, there were somebody was sucking somebody's dick on the Ferris wheel at Coachella, and somebody captured it on their Instagram story, and that shit went pretty viral. And that person's dick looked pretty nice.
I loved it. I thought good for them. I wonder if they got caught or they got in trouble or I don't know. I'm sure that happens a lot more often than we know.
Oh, for sure. If you were the person filming it, would you not have stood there and waited to see the two people come off and look them in the eye?
Absolutely.
In fact, I would have too.
It looked like he was from afar, so I would have been booking it. I would have run right over and it was plopped right down and stood right there.
I would have kept my eyes on that little cart, and when it came around, I would have said, hello, ladies.
Hello, ladies. Hello, Ferris Wheelers. I don't know if it was...
Ferris Wheelers' day off.
Ferris Wheelers' day off. Ferris Wheelers, I think it was their day on, to be honest.
Truly.
I saw some theories that it was not gays, though, that it was a girl and a guy. But I don't know.
I mean, listen, anyone can have a short haircut these days.
These days, nowadays?
That could have been a wig.
A pussycat wig.
I did not know.
It could have been Monet Exchange.
My little gay heart envisioned it being two men because that's what I wanted it to be. It could have been a straight guy and a gay guy. It could have been whatever, mix and match however you want.
I had originally seen that...
that could have been someone sucking on a cucumber.
Okay. I saw the head. Somebody posted... The first time I saw it, somebody said that it was James Charles, and I said, okay, well, that's just somebody bullying James Charles, per usual.
Yeah. I mean, no wonder Millie Bobby Brown hates all gay people. Look what we do to Ferris wheels.
Wait, what?
We talked about this last time. I'm kidding. People bully Millie with those memes.
Oh, I remember now. Well, I would like to know who those people were. I don't think I got on Grindr once the whole time. I remember last year Grindr was impossible at Coachella.
I mean, yeah, one of my friends asked me, did you get on Grindr? And I said, first of all, baby, I gave up that app on January 1st. Second of all, baby,
come on, Lent.
I talked about it on the podcast, so you must not be listening. Third of all, baby, who's got the service for Grindr at Coachella?
Well, you could bring a Boingo hotspot or something. Oh, my God.
At my work, they'll let us check out one if we need to work remotely.
You should have.
Should have borrowed one for Coachella.
Yeah. You know, I didn't check it, so I don't. I feel like that would have been a way to connect with the Ferris wheel blowjob.
Hey, locals. I mean, listen, Lord knows this Ferris wheel couple listens to the podcast, so they should slide into our DMs.
If it's you, say hello. I did hear some stories from friends that they saw somebody getting in trouble hooking up at the in a porta potty.
Ugh.
Gays.
Well, that's stupid.
Well, you know what?
That's dirty. I don't think I would hook up in a porta potty.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Where are you going? What do you get? When you gotta get, you gotta get.
When you gotta blow, you gotta blow.
When you gotta make, you gotta make.
And that's how Sue sees it. What were your highlights from Coachella? Should we just go day by day? Do you think people care? I care.
I mean, I could probably tell you my top three faves.
Day one, we saw Fisher, Casey, Gorgon City, Rufus.
Bitch, you didn't see Casey. I saw Casey.
I was listing who you saw. Gorgon City, yep. Rufus, DJ Snake, Cardi B.
I think my first day, my favorite was probably Rufus DeSoul.
Yeah, Rufus DeSoul is one of my favorites of all time. So to see Rufus, especially with my boyfriend, our song was a Rufus song.
Last thing I ever want to hear about is a gay couple's song.
Well, we have a song.
Nobody, you know how people say no one wants to hear about your dreams? Nobody wants to hear about a couple's song.
Okay.
Unless it's your wedding.
My parents' wedding song is what's that one Shania Twain song that's like...
Butterfly Kisses?
No.
From this moment on?
It's all like, look around at all these people who don't believe in our love, but here we are.
Whose bed have your boots been under?
No, looks like we made it. Look how far we come, my baby. You know about that?
I sure do. I love that Shania song.
What was my dad and stepmom's song before they got divorced? It was like...
Chattahoochee?
No, it was like...
I'll be your kiss, I'll be your fantasy. Oh, Truly Madly Deeply?
Yes, Truly Madly Deeply.
I thought you were going to say it was, I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Because they got divorced? Jesus Christ. Well, it could have been.
Because I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
No, it's a Hoobastank song. And it was their first dance.
Yeah. What's that? Is a Hoobastank got a song about a flashlight? What's that? What's the Hoobastank song?
Fleshlight.
I think. The reason.
I don't know. I don't really know Hoobastank off the top of my head.
Well, that's because you stank at music knowledge.
I would not recognize them in a Delta Lounge, that's for sure.
Oh, so you know Orianthe, but you don't know Hoobastank?
I don't know either. Thank you.
Well, you don't know either.
Now, before we talk about anything else, we got to give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Talkspace. We all need someone to talk to, a person who can support us through rough patches or even the everyday ups and downs of life. And that is where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace is therapy for how we live today. It's mobile, it's available when you need it, and it is affordable. No matter what you're going through right now, you are not alone. You can join more than 1 million people who feel happier with Talkspace. Because finding the right therapist does not have to be stressful. The Talkspace matching process takes your unique preferences into account to find someone whose style and expertise matches your needs. And if you want to switch therapists, you can do so at any time at no extra cost. Plus, it's super affordable. 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same amount as a single face-to-face session. Best of all, you'll never have to wait a week to share what's on your mind. So with all that in mind, Talkspace has more than 4,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges that we all face. So to match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code Tyler to get $45 off your first month. And to show support for Psychobabble, we would love you forever. Again, that's code Tyler, and you're going to get $45 off your first month at Talkspace.com. Thank you to Talkspace for sponsoring this episode. We love you here at the podcast. Now back to the gossip. Now, before we talk about anything else, we got to give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Lumify. Don't you just love when someone looks at you and says, "What were you up to last night?" Well, no matter how late you were up the night before, Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops can help your eyes look more refreshed and awake. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute to help your eyes look brighter and whiter for up to 8 hours. No wonder it has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. You won't believe your eyes. You know you can trust them, though, because they're made by the eye care experts at Bausch and Lomb, and they're backed by 6 clinical studies. Eye doctors trust them, too. They're the number one recommended redness reliever eye drop. The one and only Lumify is an amazing drop that will have people saying, "Something's different about you," in the best way possible. So check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. That's LumifyEyes.com. Thank you so much, Lumify, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. So for day one...
Yeah.
Were there any surprises that you had? Was it like you were expecting? Because this was your first year going to Coachella.
I told everybody at work that I had more fun at Coachella than I thought I would, which I think was an interesting realization. I ended up liking... I was a little worried that I wouldn't... Like, I would be at sets of bands that I didn't know and that I wouldn't like. But I would say almost every single set we saw, I liked... One song, which, yeah, it was weird that I thought that because I do have an eclectic taste in music and I do like a wide range of music, but literally every person or every set we saw, I was like, oh, very into that person, very into that set. I don't think there was a single one that I like kind of wanted to walk away from or leave. Maybe Weezer, but I mean, even then I danced to Beverly Hills, so.
Yeah, I mean, Weezer was probably the only one that was like out of my range, if you will.
Yeah, I was not into that sweater song. I forgot that it even existed. And then I heard it and one of your friends was singing it with me, and I thought, oh, okay, Weezer and this sweater song.
You know what I did enjoy about Weezer, though, is that it gave us like a moment to kind of chill out for a bit. Like, we had been going go, 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 and trying to like see as many as we could. So it was like a down moment before we headed to something else.
Yeah, and honestly, like I said, I can get down with anyone. I kind of liked some of those moments where it was a band that we were checking out, not necessarily like super in love with. So we kind of stood back from the stage and kind of had some space to move, had some space to dance. Didn't feel like you were standing on top of people. I enjoyed that. But yeah, I had so much more fun than I thought. The whole weekend went by in a blink of an eye. We saw so many cool artists, so many surprise guests. I really liked the DJ Snake set from day one. He brought out Cardi B and Selena Gomez, which was
holy
incredible.
Holy shit. Yeah, that was nuts.
And people had already started to like vacate his stage because the set was almost over, and he was all, I wouldn't walk away yet. And then he brought them out, and it's like we ended up being able to run pretty close to the stage to see Cardi and Selena, which was pretty cool.
I loved
those
it.
Those are people I am interested in seeing, and musicians that I enjoy.
Yeah, day one, I was all about Gorgon City. I was so excited to see them. I don't think I had ever seen them before. Fisher, I was into, but like they were in the middle of the day. They should have been at night.
Yeah, I loved Fisher. I was going to say it was probably a toss-up between Fisher and Rufus. But Fisher was literally like the first thing we did that day, and it was super early, and it was light out, and it just didn't seem like the vibe.
Your outfit was cute. If people want to check it out, they can find it on your Instagram. I'm looking at it right now. It's very, very easy and cute. I'm noticing that all of us have a problem, and it's called an addiction to handkerchiefs.
Bandanas?
Yes. Jesus listen, fucking Christ.
Listen, well, they can get used to it because I wear a bandana on the Amazing Race this season.
Heaven so help.
Calm your tits.
Day two of Coachella, your favorite, obviously.
Day two was probably my favorite day all around. I mean, it just had so many great artists, so many people that I like genuinely love, so people that I know every word, every song to. I was so glad I went early and saw the Arizona set, which was early that day. Bob Moses, I mean, the Maggie Rogers set changed my life. If you can find it on YouTube or are interested in seeing it, I would recommend looking up Maggie Rogers' Coachella set. Obviously, I feel like I've been talking about her on the podcast forever. I was a little nervous that none of you were going to come with me, and I had fully decided that I was going to go by myself, even if nobody wanted to, but I convinced the whole group to go, and I think you were all very pleasantly surprised at the Maggie Rogers set. Am I wrong? I
have to say, Maggie
you
Rogers,
cried.
I was crying. It was that beautiful. It was that good and powerful and emotional. I think it's because she wasn't in the biggest stage. It was a pretty fairly large stage, but it was not by any means any
one
of the
big
stages.
Big yeah.
And so it felt like an intimate show. It felt like one of those performances where the artist, you can tell it meant something to them. And not only that, but it meant something to them to be there, but also to see and hear every single word screamed back at them. I feel like I don't know if any of the other shows had that energy where it was every single person in the audience knew every single word to every single song. And it was, I don't know, it was just like, it was beautiful. Everyone was hugging and loving, and it was so good. It was so good.
I was very happy you all went with me. I made a friend anyway. I was
oh my God, the guy you met was so hot too.
Do I need to make a like Craigslist misconnection? Do those still exist?
Please. What
me
would you
all,
say? What would
you
say
you
for your
describe him?
Yes, give it out right now.
I'd be like, you were a little scruffy blonde gay at Coachella, and you lived for Maggie Rogers, and we sang every word to every song together, even though I had no voice to do so. I gave you a Jolly Rancher because I thought maybe he missed dinner.
No.
Because not a lot of people had time to eat and stuff. Coachella, you're busy running around. I shared a Jolly Rancher with him and his friend that he
shared
it.
How do you share a Jolly Rancher?
Well, no, I mean, I gave one to myself, and then I said I got extra boys, and I gave it to his really tall friend, and I gave one to him. They were very nice and thankful about it. Yeah, I guess I do. I should make a misconnection. Maybe he was my Coachella husband that I didn't meet.
He was very short for you. I'm gonna say.
I know he was a little short for me, but listen, I know maybe the reason I'm 34 and forever alone is because I've got all these like ideas in my head.
Save it for therapy. I would also say that we saw Bob Moses, which I really loved. I was not expecting. Yeah. I didn't really know what to expect for that, and it was like a fun, vibey show. I also was not expecting how much I was going to love Christine and the Queens.
Right?
Holy macaroni.
What an incredible show. Yeah. It was just like nonstop, go, go, go. I loved the whole vibe. I loved the whole attitude. It was, I danced. I sang. I danced to a French song that I didn't even know any words to. And I had the time of my life.
It was funny, funky video of us that was like my favorite content of the weekend of all of our group dancing to Christine and the Queens. And it was, I just love it. I cherish that video. I feel like it's my favorite video of the weekend. If you want to see it, it's on my, I've made it like a little highlight on my Instagram of all 3 days Instagram stories. There, if you go to my Instagram, you'll see like the highlight of the stories. It's like every day, start to finish, all the videos and content that we took. But there's a video of us at Christine and the Queens, and we are really getting down and dirty. But then we went and saw Weezer that day. Yes. And then we had to leave Weezer early to go see Billie Eilish, who, lo and behold, came out 45 minutes late.
Yeah, I didn't love that. But apparently,
apparently
it was okay because the Solange set was canceled or whatever. But... yeah, everyone was like, hello, come out here, make an announcement. Please tell us if you're coming or not. But I was glad we got to see Billy because I actually loved that performance as well.
And then we saw Tame Impala, which was so good.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know any Tame Impala, but I was kind of like into it. I felt like it was very like mom and dad's stoner music.
Yeah, it's very much that. It's like,
but I was fine with it. It was very that.
Now, before we talk about anything else, we got to give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Wix.com. With Wix, you can create your very own professional website. Just choose a template you love and customize it by adding your own text, images, and videos. With hundreds of intuitive design features, you can tell your story exactly the way you want. Want even more for your website? You can easily start a blog, launch an online store, or create an event. Share everything in a click on social media and drive even more traffic to your site with SEO tools to get found on Google. Wix has all the tools you need to create the exact website you want, and you can even make your website while listening to Psychobabble. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their websites. Create yours today. To get started, go to Wix.com, that's Wix.com/psychobabble to get 10% off. Wix.com/psychobabble for 10% off. Thank you again, Wix, for sponsoring this episode. We love you here at the podcast. Now back to the gossip. And then day three, our last and final day, we started off with Lizzo, who just, I mean, had you ever seen Lizzo before in concert?
I had not.
Holy shit. She puts on a show. She had flown out these contest winners who did like their own versions of like them dancing to her new song Tempo with Missy Elliott. And the whole stage was like full of these contest winners. It was so much fun because you could tell that like they were so excited to be there. The crowd was like amping them up. It was, I don't know. I had seen Lizzo before at Outside Lands and I didn't know what to expect then. And so I went into this knowing full well like she was going to like completely deliver, and she did. Yeah. All the gays were living.
I loved the Lizzo performance. It was she had such technical difficulties with her set, which was annoying. And I saw she retweeted someone that was like, someday people will rewatch Lizzo's Coachella set and realize it was like a masterclass and how to deal with like bullshit technical difficulties that shouldn't be occurring. So yeah, the Lizzo set was like a masterclass in like how to deal with technical difficulties and how to like kind of handle it with grace. She definitely, you could tell she was annoyed and I felt horrible for her, but I think she handled it as best as she could and she powered through and performed every song either way. So
I honestly
was very impressed with Lizzo.
I did not really notice the technical difficulties, to be honest, though I did notice them at Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I mean, Ari, you could tell. I mean, the same with Nicki Minaj. I'm like, whew. Nicki's mic was clearly not working. Some of my friends said they watched the YouTube live streams or wherever it was online, and they said they could kind of tell too. And I was kind of asking, I was asking if like the audience reactions kind of, you could read it based on the YouTube live stream. And they were like, yeah, you could tell the audience was kind of not vibing whenever like mics weren't working or something. So that's sad.
Here's the thing about the Ariana Grande show. I liked it because I like Ariana Grande's music and like all the songs were there and I enjoyed it. It's just difficult to come out of a Beyoncé year where Beyoncé made a show specifically for Coachella that had never existed before, that will never exist again. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for Beyoncé, for the audience that was there. If you were there, it felt like you were at a moment. And then I came to Ariana's, and it was good. But I don't know if it like translated as like a once-in-a-lifetime moment. I think she delivered incredible live vocals, which most people cannot say.
Yeah.
I just wish that maybe she had done something a little bit more like unique to this experience. It just kind of felt like I was at an Ariana Grande show, which I can't complain about because I would love to be at an Ariana Grande show. So
yeah, I think it was also a little different because the Ari show was like the last thing on Sunday night. And it's like, you've got people who are tired of 3 days of festival and being out in the sun and being out in the desert and being out in the heat. And it's just like, I know I was drained by the time Sunday night rolled around. I was still dancing my ass off. I was still so excited to hear her play NASA live. I got to see her do Into You live, which is one of my favorite Ari songs of all time. I mean, I was very happy with the song choices, but it was hard to kind of watch her show with as many breaks and outfit changes as it had compared to some of the other performances throughout the weekend that were just go, 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 go.
Totally.
I mean, that's always my favorite concert is an artist who's just going to get up there and like rip right through everything. Like, I don't need a lot of chatting in between. I'm there to dance. I'm there to have a good time. And I'm always very impressed by those artists who do rip right through a set and just give it to you and let you have it.
I can appreciate like costume changes and different looks and different sets and things like different vibes. Because I think I really just love that about Gaga. Like, when I think about her shows, she is giving such different looks all the time, such juxtapositions and like sets and moments that she's like dividing the show into. So when the looks are like costume changes, but like I don't really even notice, that's when I'm kind of like, well, was that worth our time?
Right. It's like she had costume changes, but you definitely knew it had to be super quick because Coachella runs on such a tight schedule, and I know they had like time limits and stuff on what time music had to be done playing, especially late at night.
Speaking of Ariana, though, I loved Zedd's version of
Break Free.
Break Free.
It was great.
Holy crap.
Zedd.
Oh my God, queen.
I guess I didn't even realize until Sunday when we were there and getting ready to see Zedd. Like, I think when we walked in Sunday, I kind of looked at everyone and I said, oh shit, Katie's gonna show up. And a lot of our friends were like, no, I don't know. And like, I don't know. I just like, I've had this weird gut feeling. I'm like, I know 365 isn't like the bop banger and it's not getting the radio play that they hoped. And it's not another Maren Morris and Zedd moment. It's not that single, but I'm like, I know Katie's here and I know she's coming out to do this song. And I think I was the only Katie Cat in that entire Zedd crowd on the main stage. And I sang every fucking word to that song. And I feel like, I mean, yes, our friends were dancing and singing too, but I felt like the other groups that were around us at that show, I was looking at them like, bitch, you can't give the respect where the respect is due.
I was living for it. I was on somebody's shoulders at the moment. I loved it.
Like I said, I felt like our friends certainly were, but I'm like, hello. I mean, the same thing when we were next to people when like NSYNC came out and Diddy and Mace with Ariana Grande. I'm like, I felt like a lot of young people did not know who those people were, which I
people knew NSYNC. Everyone was singing the NSYNC songs.
They just didn't care.
I will say, I don't know if anybody knew who P. Diddy was. And that made me feel old.
Right when Mace came out, I was like singing every word to every song because that was such a like song for me in the like late 90s. And I felt like, I was like, oh my God, no one else knows this because they were all born in the 90s. And I was like, all right, that's all right. I'll sing every word.
I will give credit where credit is due. Katy Perry was singing live and she sounded good.
I thank you. I was going to say, I agree. Like I thought you never know what you're going to get with a live show.
And it's hard because I don't think there's rehearsals for Coachella.
On the main stage.
There's so many things shifting and changing that like behind the scenes tech stuff, it's like you just hope things go as you want them to go. So it sounded good. We also saw Dylan Francis, which I loved.
Yep.
And my favorite of the day, Sophie Tucker. Yeah, oh my God.
Sophie Tucker was incredible. I have to go back to a Sophie Tucker show. I was blown away. Like I knew some of their songs and I was excited to see them. And then the whole show was just like that show for me.
I loved
the set. I loved the vibe. It felt super intimate. I think it was on the same stage as the Maggie Rogers show, which was one of the smaller stages. And they had this whole jungle theme and neon lights and black lights and tropical trees and birds and giraffes. Like, it was wild.
Talk about creating a vibe. They literally like transformed just a plain tent into what felt like this crazy jungle-like funky
atmosphere.
Rave jungle. And before the show came on, they had like birds chirping as if you were in a rainforest.
Yeah, it was so
really
cool.
Setting the mood. And if you have a chance to see Sophie Tucker, I would highly recommend. It is a dance party where I think not only do they put on a show, but like they put on a vibe and the entire audience delivers it back to them. Like you feel like you are in a crazy dance party. It was so much fun.
It was wild. I can't believe we've just like recapped all of Coachella.
Well, I mean, it was that good. I feel like I had so much fun. It was my second Coachella. Last year we went with a group of five. I was nervous for a group of nine, but it was like, it was so much fun because all of us were on the same page. I feel like nothing went wrong for anybody. We all had such a really good time. I don't know. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. I loved it. I would do it again. In a heartbeat. It was a good crowd. I had an amazing weekend, even if I'm a little tired this week and even if I'm missing my voice a little bit.
Well, you know what? We survived to live another day, but did we survive on the Amazing Race?
That's where I was going to go, bitch.
Well, episode one. We've got a
couple minutes left, and I was going to say, yeah, if you haven't seen episode one and you don't want to hear spoilers, now is your time to tune out. But yeah.
Episode one is live now. We went to Japan.
Tokyo, Japan. I had never been. It was insane.
It is so crazy, too, because my boyfriend had just been to Japan like 2 weeks prior or something. And we were joking like, oh my God, what if you go to Japan? I'll just have missed you. And when we ripped the clue, I was like, oh my God.
It was insane. And honestly, I will say out of any of the places we went the first time on The Amazing Race, going to Japan and the first leg of the second time on The Amazing Race was the biggest culture shock to me in a way where, yes, we went at night. Yes, it was a little rainy, but the Japanese people that we encountered were so shy, which I think is a cultural thing. And we were just like big, dumb Americans running around with backpacks and asking people for clues. And we were in a very busy part of town. And so many people were like trying to help us, but there was such a language barrier. I will say, it was by far the hardest language barrier we dealt with, at least I think, compared to any of the legs we did on the first time on the show. So I think we kind of looked at each other and we were like, holy shit, can we do this?
And I mean, it was one of those things where they like right off the bat, we had to go. We had to, as soon as we got to Japan, we were on a double decker bus where we were getting these Japanese lessons. And I don't even know if they're going to show it in the episode, to be honest.
I don't think they probably will, because I think those lessons were actually them trying to help us learn words to use to navigate the city, because they knew how difficult it was going to be for us. And it was,
I disagree. I think that was like a tactic for them to wear us out and to make us like our brains scattered and memorizing something that we didn't even really need. Because we were stressed, we were tired, we were exhausted.
Well, if you think about it, some of the words that they taught us, I mean, I guess I can look through our little notebook, but it was like, one of the ones was like mall, and we had to go to that. That's where we went to the shoe store. And one of them was like a park, which is where I had to climb the mountain for the roadblock. So I think there were some like hidden helpers in there, but yeah, it was definitely a mind fuck.
I was grateful that we both had a roadblock for the first episode, because I think both of us were like a little bit nervous to get back into the game. I think everyone felt like a little bit rocky. Even if you had previously competed on something recently, it's like you still want to jump back into it. And so for both of us to have a chance to like really dive in, take control of a challenge just solo and succeed at it, I think that was good for our morale at least.
We definitely had some trouble navigating Tokyo, but once we got to the task, I think we both kind of dominated those, which is what helped us finish so well for the first episode and finish so high up for the first episode, which is what we had wanted.
Not me exemplifying a foot fetish in the first episode, really chowing down on some
foot
play. Listen,
we always said you were going to do the eating challenges, and I think height was definitely an advantage for me when I was climbing that little mountain. So
bon appetit.
We did it.
We lived another day. We'll see if we make it into the next, make it through the next episode without getting eliminated.
Yeah, next week we are going to Laos. So check it out on Wednesday and see what goes down there. And yeah, tweet us like You can always tweet along with the episodes, Team Tyler and Corey. I know we'll be stalking your tweets and seeing your reactions to the episode. So we hope you're enjoying this season.
Yeah, as you tweet along, hashtag Team Tyler and Corey, we will be following. Thank you so much for listening. Corey, where can people find you?
I am online everywhere at Corey Cool, KoreyKuhl. You can check out my Coachella picks. I'm sure there are lots of tweets that I had about the first episode of The Amazing Race, so be sure to follow me on both.
And I'm Tyler Oakley. Thank you for listening. That's all. Have a good life. Also, we posted all those pictures and videos and stuff from Coachella on our Instagram. So go give them some love and let us know what you think are your favorite looks that we pulled for those 3 days. That's all. Okay.
All right.
Have a good
life.
Love
you.
Bye.